Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, that's a classy intro. Hey, it's our new resource. Thou shalt judge. This is Wretched Radio. If you haven't seen Justin Peters and a Todd Frielius in studio delivering 12 lectures on the subject of discernment so needed these days, please avail yourself of that resource at fortisinstitute.org. I almost said wretched. I ain't no Pavlovian dog. I don't get trained that easily, which I don't think is a compliment to yourself, Todd. The point is, you can see Thou Shalt Judge. It also has a study guide, which we will give to you. Would you like to, if you're maybe specifically for the church, you're commendable, like some of the churches in Revelation. You're the church of Ephesus. You're the discerning church. You're the church that guards against false doctrine. And Jesus to that would say, amen, that is a very good thing, because He is high on theology. But there was also a problem that I think was connected to their discernment, which was good, but their affections had grown cold. In other words, it seems like Ephesus was in perpetual cage stage. They just had to correct everybody about everything. And that is a ditch. Now, we all know on the other side of the spectrum is a ditch of no discernment whatsoever. So you've got those that are too discerning because they discern everything. The pastor sneezes and he actually says, oh, bless me. And then he's brought up on heresy trials because you can't bless yourself or something like that. That's one side. The other side is, oh, let's just be nice about everything. Let's not judge anybody for anything. That is, don't judge. Thou shalt not judge. Hence the resource, Thou Shalt Judge, as promised last week. Said we would share with you some of it. This happens to be lecture 12. This is Justin Peters. This is a subject. Discernment's, I'll finish a sentence. Discernment is more than just looking at YouTube videos and going, heretic, oh, that's a wonky one. Oh, that thing is dumb right there. No, no, no. We're discerning all the time. We are discriminating constantly, theologically, I mean. That doesn't mean we become nasty. It doesn't mean we judge outward. We're constantly figuring out, okay, what is that? What am I hearing? What level? What are they saying? What are the implications of this? That's just the Christian brain. That should just be our processing center. That is the way that that's our OS. We are discerning like Bereans all the time without becoming with everybody. And you are to be doing that in church, not just on the YouTube machine. I got to be careful here, because you can automatically become one of those discerners that starts to just rip your pastor apart. And you don't want to be doing that either. Perhaps this lecture 12 from Thou Shalt Judge with Justin Peters will help VU.
Welcome to this installment of Thou Shalt Judge. My session is titled, When and How Should I Judge My Pastor, My Elders, and My Fellow Church Members? Let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, love is patient. Love is kind, is not jealous, does not brag, is not puffed up. It does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Dear friends, when it comes to judging our pastors, elders, and fellow church members, our default posture is to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Do ya? Or are you perhaps still in cage stage?
That is our default posture. We are to believe the best about them because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our family. So if I have a reason to be suspicious of a pastor or a church member, or I think they may have done something that is wrong or they're engaged in some sin, my default position is to think the best of them, to give them the benefit of the doubt. With that having been said, it is not that there is not a place for judging fellow church members and even our pastors and the elders, because it is possible for them to enter into egregious and even disqualifying sin. And it is possible that some of them may even be, even pastors and elders, false converts. That is possible. So how are we to go about judging our fellow church members? If you discover that a fellow church member or a pastor or elder is in some egregious habitual sin, if that comes to your attention, God has given us a step-by-step process of how to deal with it. And it's found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus says, "Now if your brother sins, go and show him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together, I am there in their midst." So if you discover your fellow church member, your brother, your sister in Christ, and even your pastor is guilty of some egregious sin, then you need to go to that person in private and confront that person. And if he listens to you, in other words, if he admits his sin and repents, wonderful, praise the Lord, you have won your brother. Don't talk about it anymore. It's done. It's over. Don't show up to Sunday school the next Sunday morning and the Sunday school teacher says, "Well, does anybody have any prayer requests and praise reports?" Ooh, me. I have a praise report. I went to Billy Bob this week and I confronted him in his sin and he repented. Let me tell you what he repented of.
I can't believe that he's got a Billy Bob at his church. What are the odds?
No, it's over. It's done. Don't talk about it anymore. It's over. But if Billy Bob does not listen to you, then you take one or two more with you and you go back to Billy Bob on step two of church discipline and you confront him in his sin. And if he listens to you, wonderful. You have won your brother. Don't talk about it anymore. It's over. It's done. But if he does not listen to you, tell it to the church. Oh, you mean you get up on Sunday morning and you tell it to the entire church? That's right. That's what you do. And then after a season of the church being aware of the sin of this local assembly member, after a season of the church having an opportunity to go to that person individually, confront this person again, the whole body, if after that season that person still does not repent, then you treat him as a Gentile and a tax collector. He's proven himself to be unregenerate. These are the steps of church discipline. Very, very few churches do this. And yet, as I said earlier, this is the very first command that Jesus gave to his church. Just as much a command as is the Lord's Supper and believers' baptism. And if we were to look at a church that said, "Well, we just refuse to do the Lord's Supper. We refuse to baptize people." Would you call that a church? No, you would not. Why is it any different with this? This is difficult. It's hard. Nobody looks forward to it or shouldn't. We should. This is not something we should want to do. But in the life of a church, from time to time, depending upon the size of the church, it's going to be necessary. It will have to be done. Every single church that I've been a part of, good doctrinally sound churches, I've seen it done at every church I've been a part of. It will come up every once in a while.
And it's scary. This is church discipline. It ain't child's play. It is very serious, eternal play, because that is what is at stake here when you've got somebody who's in unrepentant sin. They're in spiritual danger. Now, if we thought in this context, when I see somebody at church doing something, notice I've left it general, they're doing something, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it? What is it? And this might be a decent rule to at least consider in the process of whether or not you talk to somebody about an issue is, if this didn't stop, would this mean that they are up for church discipline and could be set outside of the body? And I'm not saying that it doesn't mean then that you don't approach them on that, but it just helps you to discern what we're talking about here and what it is that they're actually doing before we get exercised about it. How many church fights would be eliminated if we considered, does this rise to church discipline level? How many church fights would just be gone if we considered, is that a sin or is that a preference? Is that a sin or does it just bug me? Is that a sin or an annoyance? And until we discern, see what I did there? Until we discern the issues, you don't go then about the business of what you think is practicing discernment with the person until you've done discerning as to what the person is actually doing. In other words, discernment is more complex than just making a YouTube video critiquing somebody, which is why we made Thou Shalt Judge, FortisInstitute.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transform and Dr. Greg Gifford now at FortisInstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What a breath of fresh air. Hold on. Hold on. Breaking news. And now to the Phil Johnson news desk, our very own Jimmy Hicks. Take it away, Jimmy.
Well, he posted on Twitter yesterday.
You don't sound right.
What?
If we're going to get ratings here, you got to make it sound like...
I'm sorry.
Can you just kind of pretend you've got that cynical sort of tone or that edgy attitude? Because that's what keeps people listening, baby.
Are you sure?
I don't know. It seems like it.
But he did post on Twitter yesterday that his cancer treatment so far has been somewhat eventful, but it's not been as bad as he feared. The drugs they have me injecting myself with make me feel feeble with lots of bone pain, and the blood thinners I'm on have caused havoc on the port they put in my jugular. Darlene gets upset when I'm bleeding from the neck.
No.
But it could be worse and probably will get worse. The heavy chemo comes on the 27th.
Phil's a man. I don't know if you probably picked that up by his demeanor, but you know, just his disposition, he comports himself. Nobody would ever see Phil or hear Phil and go, is that dude a lady? Just he's a guy, and he's a tough guy. Case in point, this was, maybe you remember, if you were at it was a Psalm 119 conference, and I think it was in Texas. If I'm not mistaken, we were in Dallas, and Phil Johnson was going to be one of our speakers. And I can't recall if it was Darlene or Phil who sent me a text called, I don't know that we texted as much back then. This is a number of years ago, that it might be hard for Phil to get there, but he's going to try. He's got a bad back. So the car pulls up. We all go out to greet, to like, what can we do to make it easy for you? And he said, just get me to the ground. He got out of the vehicle. If I remember, it was a minivan. Could be wrong about that. And he literally got onto his hands and knees and crawled into the church. His back hurt so much he couldn't stand. But he wasn't going to miss a chance to preach. Not only that, and this is about Phil. He didn't want to disappoint. He made a commitment. He was going to do it. He wasn't going to fail because his back hurt. And it clearly hurt. He's crawling on the ground like a toddler who can't toddle yet, which I guess would make you a baby. But I didn't want to call Phil a baby because even though he's currently going through the chemo and the whole regimen, he could take me. That's Phil. And so, Jimmy, I think the first thing you said was it's been eventful, but not as bad as I thought it would be.
Right.
My guess is for most of us, it's real bad. Mm. It's hard. So be praying for Phil. And Darlene, I'm telling you, you get blessed to be around them. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that's one of those very special ones that you meet on occasion where you just feel lifted up because they're in your presence. Do you know some of those people? A lot of times they're pastors. And it shouldn't be that way, but a lot of times they are pastors that just, you get a sense that they're I'm groping for words because I've never tried to articulate what it is about some people where it's just, it's good to be around them. I'll tell you who is like that. Lou Priolo. Lou Priolo was like that. Wait until you see Transform Season 4. You are going to lose your mind. Greg Giffert, who hosts the Transform podcast, which please listen to it. It will grow you in your walk. It'll stabilize your emotions. It will bring you joy. You can find it at fortisplus.org. You can listen to it at your Spotify or Apple, whatever. Transformed. He did the first three seasons. One-on-one biblical counseling. Lou Priolo, season 4, did couples. It's so good. I can't wait for you to see. It is so good, these couples. Oh, He's amazing. And when I was watching it just the other day, once again, my heart kind of ached at the loss of Lou. He made me a better man. I don't know exactly know how he did it. There's plenty to work with considering the source material here, but he just did. And I don't think if I would have asked Lou, how do you do that, Lou? He probably would have said, do what? What? I don't even know what you're talking about. It was just his demeanor. So I think maybe I've got it sorted. Thanks for your patience. It's godliness. When you're around somebody who's genuinely godly, it lifts you up. Now, maybe it'll convict you on occasion too. Oh boy, I'm not doing so well here. But oftentimes it will build you up. And I think it comes from being with somebody who's just plain godly. And as long as I brought up the subject of Lou is a reminder to me that we eulogize people before we lose them. Have you eulogized your loved ones that are still alive? Have you said good things about the people that you love rather than waiting for them to be gone and standing up from a room full of people and saying good things? Why not speak those things right now to them, about them in front of other people? Wouldn't that be a blessing? And wouldn't that maybe, just maybe help you to shed one less tear when you lose that person because you spoke well of them while they were here? And by the way, Jimmy, not to toot your horn, but your sermon from your grandmother's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. You know, you should actually, we should put that someplace because I thought that was a model of understanding the circumstances. You lost your grandma.
Yeah.
Okay. She was a believer. People, no doubt, any funeral, there's a mixture of believers, unbelievers. Mm. And so you've got the moment. You don't want to turn it into like a thing where suddenly fists start flying because you get all preachy. And yet, you want to be authoritative. Right. I thought you found it, dude. I thought you found it. And you mixed it and you wove it in. And it was clear. It was perfectly clear. Nobody would leave there confused about the gospel. In other words, you proclaim the gospel. So well done to you. And if I might suggest on that note, please, if you haven't already, go check out the video that we posted last Friday on YouTube. I think it's Why Are So Many Christians Missing This? It might be, in my estimation, the most important thing we've ever done on YouTube. The most important thing. And a few people, some people, I'm not sure that they watched the whole thing. They maybe didn't see the whole thing to get the context of it. It wasn't to criticize some individuals who were talking about the gospel, but it was to sharpen our gospel presentations and recognize that talking about the gospel is not the same as presenting the gospel. Okay. Lame example, but let's talk bacon, not Kevin. Let's talk the bacon, the good stuff. Now, let's just say that I love bacon so much, I want you to love bacon. All right, so we're in a conversation. It lasts 20 minutes. And in the first minute, I maybe even ask you, hey, what do you think about bacon? And you say, well, you know, it's a food product. I think it comes from a pig. Okay. Right. And then 5 minutes later, you talked about how to cook bacon. And then 10 minutes later, you talked about how to make sure that you get it to the crisp, which is better, crispy or kind of limp and fatty? Which one is better? And then you put it on paper towels. You did that 17 minutes in. And then 20 minutes in, you talked about how delicious it is when it is on a piece of really perfectly toasted bread with mayonnaise, tomato, and lettuce. Did you try to convert them to bacon? The answer is no. You talked about bacon. You maybe spoke good things about bacon. But until you present that you need to love bacon, all you've done is talk about bacon, but you're not being a bacon evangelist. And we can do that with the gospel. Because I think that we just assume that people know what we're talking about. The gaps are filled in for us. I can present the gospel and leave out about seven things and think that I presented the gospel because I know the gospel. but the hearer doesn't know the gospel. And so this video was an attempt to just to make sure that we understand that when we're presenting the gospel, it must contain certain elements. And without putting any sort of stopwatch on it, probably within, you know, a tight enough window that it was coherent and not spread over the course of days or weeks. Jimmy, you did that. Mm-hmm. It was really clear. I was listening to somebody. They were somebody was doing a quick gospel presentation. And I was like, dude, rock on. You got it all. God is holy, righteous, just. We're not. We deserve his wrath. But he sent his son to die for us, absorbing the wrath of God on our behalf. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he offers complete forgiveness if you'll repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. That is a gospel presentation. Please check out that video. I think it might be the most important video we've ever posted. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.